Now let's go look at the more general form of this analysis. Where this procedure can be used and make most people happy, whether you have the equal and orthogonal design, or what most of us will have more often is the non-orthogonal, unequal end design, where those seven effects are related to each other and need to be controlled for each other. So here's a little bit of detail about the food. The crickets were immature house crickets, which is a sort of a created species. They were 5 to 7 millimeter body length. Had been pithed before presentation so that they were able to move their limbs but could not escape. Cricket meanness. Proximate crickets have a substantial odor. If you get close, they're stinky. Four crickets were presented. So there's a little pile of four twitching, stinky crickets in front of them in the cricket condition. In order to approximate carrion, 5 to 7 millimeter bits of hamburger were incubated for 72 hours in a warm, damp, unsterilized environment. It stank. Four little bits were presented, so there's about the same mass. And we actually used an olfactory measurement system where we had pretty good stink equivalents. The amount of odorant particles coming off the crickets and the meat were pretty close. I mean, closer than production standards are going to give us for the food that we're pointing at in the long run. You wouldn't know there was this so much investment in turtle feeding, but we had fun. The lettuce was fresh, mature, outer leaves of romaine lettuce washed with sterilized water and shredded to a standard size approximating the size of mature duckweed. 30 to 40 shreds were presented. The reason we needed that many is we had to have a pile. Because these are little baby turtles, and they I don't know if you've never been a turtle and tried to eat with your mouth, but you can't see what you're picking up. And so they needed to have enough of a pile there that they could just sort of go without, you know, any detail or finesse to it. Somebody complains, well, you should only have 3 or 4 shreds. You can't even pick up 3 or 4 shreds, let alone a baby turtle do it. Relax. One of the other things that we looked at here is, you know, zoos would rather feed their animals at night when you're not there. Especially if they're going to feed them prepared food or live food, because there's several interesting lawsuits at the time about PETA and some other folks going after zoos who were putting live crickets in the tanks during the day. This was cruelty to both the crickets and the children who were watching. So we were looking at time of day as a fourth variable in this. And you know what? One of the cool things about working with turtles is that there's two things you can randomly assign and manipulate with turtles that you usually can't with other species. One, gender. I could take an egg, flip a coin, carefully, decide whether that egg is going to be a male or a female, and then put it in a different incubation temperature based on that random assignment. It's not 100%, but what you do is you only take the ones that were supposed to be males that turn out to be males, and the ones that were supposed to be female that are supposed to be female, and you at that point have randomly assigned the sample. There's some others that weren't randomly assigned successfully, but they're not in the data set. So you have a successful random assignment and manipulation of gender. You can also randomly assign and manipulate time of day. Because you can separate whether it's a diurnal cycle or a light-dark cycle. Is it where you are in the cycle of the moon and the sun around us, which have all sorts of magnetic and gravitational forces, which Lord only knows what baby turtles pay attention to. We're just figuring out we pay attention to some of those things. Or is it a night-dark cycle? Well, I can't randomly assign phase of the moon, but I can randomly assign light and dark. And so what you do is you take the turtles that are randomly assigned to a flipped day-night cycle. You put them in an environmental chamber. And we had an environmental chamber that was about this big. So we're controlling temperature and humidity and all that good shit in two different chambers. And in one of them, we switch a few minutes a day. so that we can flip. And when those babies come out, and these babies come out in the two different rooms, these are coming out in the light, these are coming out in the dark at the same exact time. We have just effectively randomly assigned and manipulated day and night. Okay? This was fun shit. All right, so there's a lot of bits and pieces to a complete analysis. I like to start with an initial analysis. Let's get the means, the plots, and the F-tests. Let's think about what effects are significant. Let's think about what lower order effects we have to check for descriptiveness. And let's check which lower order effects may be interesting. Then we're going to go after the three-way. And we're going to focus on using the estimated marginal means follow-ups. But there's also pages in here that show you how to get the LSD minimum mean difference like we did in the other handout. And also tells you how to do the selected sets of analyses instead of the integrated sets of analyses. Because sometimes people say, I want to see this three-way as go get me the two-way for the painted turtles and then go get me the two-way for the snapping turtles, where you would do a select data or a split file and get those separate analyses. Then we'll go after the two-ways. And when we go after the two-ways, we have to remember whether those two-ways need to be checked up on and whether we think those semi-marginal means represent a population that we care about. Then we go after the main effects. Now, the homework assignment is going to be set up so you just go get the three-way, one two-way, and one main effect. Instead of all three two-ways and all three main effects. Because it's just, what we're trying to do is make sure that if you really need to, you can follow the process in the handout. If you can do it once, you can do it three times. We got other stuff to have you thinking about away from here right now. And if you find yourself doing three-way designs, if you think you're going to be doing a lot of that, then we've got two summer modules that are pointed at that. One is a whole module on three-ways where we look at all different kinds of three-way designs, depending upon whether the independent variables are qualitative or quantitative. We also have an advanced factorial module where we look at what happens when you include multiple dependent variables into ANOVAs and control variables into ANCOVAs. And so this is just the introduction. If you need to do a three-way, you'll probably be able to do pretty well. If you're going to do three-ways a lot, come on back and let's teach you the next couple layers. So, Uninova, dependent variable by, list the independent variables. And once again, the order that they're listed controls the order they appear in the descriptives. Notice we had species first, species was on the left, age was second, it's in the middle, food offer was last, it's on the right. So you can control how that table comes out. Method is always going to be type 3 sum of squares. We're going to print those descriptives. We're going to plot, and the way this is set up, the plotting within Uninova is not great, but it is quick and quick and not that dirty. I mean, it's not really pretty, but it's there, and it's really, really quick. So the way this works is the first variable defines what variable goes on the x-axis. The second variable gets you separate lines for each of those groups on that IV, and the third gets you separate graphs for each one. And then the design, here I've listed out the complete design, three main effects, three two-ways, and a three-way. If you leave the design off, it automatically does the full model. There may be situations, we'll show you later, where you might want to look at a submodel. So there's the descriptives. You will notice that the ends aren't all the same everywhere. We did okay with the painted turtles, but for the snapping turtles, we had some variability in survival rate. And so we ended up with unequal n. Remember that everything that has a total beside it is a mean that is based on a weighted mean, taking into account the number of animals in the different conditions that led to that aggregated mean. Here's the picture. It's not a great picture, but like I say, it captures what's going on. And we can see what's coming. The three-month-old turtles are pigs. They go after anything you put in front of them with great rigor. And there doesn't seem to be a difference between how, not much of a difference between how busy these are and how busy those are. For the three-day-old turtles, when they're painted turtles, it's all about moving and stinky. Just stinky and bland are low both. Whereas for the snapping turtles, moving and stinky are high, and bland is low. So we can see the pattern of the three-way here. Like I say, you can go into the SPSS graphics side, the plotting side. You can get bar graphs. You can get prettier versions of line graphs. You can control colors and fonts and all that good, pretty stuff. And you can also get error bars around these so that you can have a better view of the significance tests from the graph. All kinds of stuff. Got everything. The main reason we got everything is that that mean square, remember, if you take the square root of that, that's your average standard deviation in a condition. Small variability. Very homogeneous creatures. Life simple. So much easier than working with college sophomores. Well, I'll give you the quick version. When you're looking at the main effect of species, the paints and the snappers represent just two of the seven Nebraska species of the 256 species worldwide. So aggregating across them doesn't represent an important population. These two species do represent about 85% of pet turtles sold in the United States, but most pets aren't fed these foods at these ages, so the lack of external population and stimulus validity makes the aggregation uninteresting. So the main effect of age, the main effect of food, and the age-by-food interaction would only be interesting as a simplifying description if the mean pattern was descriptive because it matched the corresponding simple effect patterns. Similar stories everywhere. I mean, I don't know what any of these things in their aggregate represent. I don't know what the aggregate of 3 days and 3 months is. I don't know what the aggregate of the three foods is. And if you can't name what that aggregate represents, then you're less likely to be interested in what the marginal mean comparison represents. Unless it's a simplifying description because it's descriptive, if it happens at the other conditions of the other variable. So if we're going to go after the three-way interaction, we have to have decided ahead of time what is our primary variable, what is our primary moderator, and what is our secondary moderator. Because which of the hundreds of possible sets of pairwise comparisons we're going to get depends upon how we want to tell the story. Now, this was primarily a food preference study. So that's what's going to go last in the list so that those marginal, those cell means are sitting next to each other in the table. And then we're going to compare that effect. So when we set it up this way, we're going to get in the table species, age, and food type. And then it's going to compare these food types. And it's going to do it four times. It's going to look at the food offer effect for each combination of species and age. And the table set up that way. Now, you can set up the table any way you want. You do not have to have it set up so that this matches the third one. But it's way easier to look at that way. Because now these three means that are sitting side by side, that's what's going to be compared. You can set this up so the three means you're comparing are, you know, here and here and here. Same means. Same pairwise comparison results. Just if you feed that table to somebody, they're likely to screw it up. SPSS gives you two layers of analyses. The first thing that it does is it does an F-test for each set of means that you want to compare. So it's going to do one F-test for the three food types for painted 3 days, painted 3 months, snapper 3 days, snapper 3 months. Here those are. Painted 3 days. Here's an F-test for those three conditions. Now, a null result here tells you everything you need to know. Those three cell means aren't different from each other. You're done. You still have to check for descriptiveness, but you're done in terms of that effect. But if you find a significant effect, you don't know what the pattern of that effect is, and that's why SPSS goes on and gives you the pairwise comparisons. So now, within each combination of species and age, we get the pairwise comparisons of crickets with ground meat. They're different for 3-day-old painted turtles. Crickets and lettuce, they're different for 3-day-old painted turtles. This one's redundant. This is the other one we want. Ground meat and lettuce, not different for 3-day-old painted turtles. 3-month-old painted turtles, 3-day-old snappers, 3-month-old snappers. Okay? Lots of pieces, but they're just lots of pieces. And so once again, what you want to do is you want to take your time and set yourself up for success. We've got 4 sets of simple effects analyses. Painted 3-day, painted 3-month, snapping 3-day, snapping 3-month. And in each one of those, we're going to compare crickets to ground meat, crickets to lettuce, and ground meat to lettuce. And there we have fully explicated the pattern of the three-way interaction in a way that is maximally matched to the way we've expressed our research hypothesis. How are we doing? A lot of bits and pieces, but this is one of those things, I got to tell you, you do 5 or 6 of these. And remember, when you get to a three-way in your research, you're going to have built up to it. Right? This isn't going to be cold. You've done or been around a lot of the one-ways. You've done a bunch of, we had done a bunch of food preference studies. All of our food preference studies have been done with 3-month-old painted turtles. That's sort of the industry standard for feeding a young turtle. There's more of these out there than anything else, and most of the rest of what's out there are other kind of pond turtles. I can tell you, it barely matters. So we'd run lots of this. And then we'd ask, well, is there really an age effect? And then somebody says, you know what? There's more in the world than pond turtles.
Really?
Why? I will tell you, though, there is one species that no matter who else you study, you don't learn about. Alligator snapping turtles. An adult female alligator snapping turtle can have a carapace that's 1 meter long. Their head comes out 3/4 of that. Their tail comes out 3/4 of that. A big female weighs 250. Biggest one I ever handled was 208. They are different than all other turtles because they eat differently than all other turtles. Google it sometime. Alligator snapping turtle. They pop open their mouth and they have what's called a filiform lure. It's this little tiny thing that engorges with blood so that it's what biologists call bright red, but biologists call this yellow, for Christ's sake. They're so desperate for color that this is bright yellow. That's probably orange. We make fun of the taxonomists. And that lure, and they just sit there waiting for something to stupidly come in when they close their mouth on it. So none of this applies to them. So the way this is set up is we really want to look at this. We want to look at it here and here. We want to see if that differs. How are we doing? Now when you do, then you want to articulate this set of pointies in words. And the only thing you're going to do to make it a formal write-up is every time we say a preferred to same as, we pop in the p-value from that pairwise comparison. Usually not. Now, it depends on, reporting standards in that journal or with that group. But for the most part, No. What they're going to want to see is the mean square error that all the tests were based on. They're going to want to see the overall Fs. They're going to want to see those p-values. But what they really want to see is when you tell me things are different, show me that p-value. The next layer would be to include in that parentheses the p-value and the effect size. Now you're laying out everything. And if you want to have a conversation about which nulls are probably power problems, you want to have those effect sizes in there with those p-values. So later you can say, you know, we got the effect here in that main effect, but we didn't here. It's probably because of differential power. Other people have gotten this effect who are able to run larger studies. Let's treat this as a difference. Okay? Great question. Now, there are other things that you could do. Oh, and I also show you the setup of the description a couple of different ways because at some point it's writing style. You have to decide which expression your readers are going to capture. This shows you how to do all the same thing the way we did in the last handout, which is to crank out the LSD and use it for all pairwise comparisons. This shows you how to do it by separate or layered analyses where we sort the cases by species, we split the file by species, and we ask for the age food offering two-way, and then we're going to get it twice, once for each species. The thing you want to notice is that what we have done in this analysis is that we have split the power in this study because we've split it into two groups. This mean square error is about the same size for the painted turtles, but it goes up for the snappers. And that means that this set of tests is going to be less powerful than this set of tests and in the three-way done with the estimated marginal means. You don't see this very often. This was starting to fade out when I was you, and 30 years later it's pretty much gone. But every once in a while, particularly in sociology and in political science, you will see people who are used to doing this split-type follow-up. And so here's how to get it. Here's a description of the challenges involved and how to adjust these F-tests for using the error term from the full model. There's nothing wrong with calculating your own F-tests. An F-test is always an effect over an estimate of the error in estimating that effect. So it's an estimate over the error of the an estimate of the error of the estimate. If different versions give you different answers, then you really need to know what people expect so that you can either conform or go to war. Two-way. All that we're going to do in the two-way is ignore that there's a third variable. So everything in here is going to have just two variables. So here's my plot, just species and age. So I got painted turtles and snapping turtles, and here's my age effects, or here's my younger turtles and my older turtles. And it looks like we got a species difference for younger, but not for older. And then I'm going to follow up by getting this two-way at each level of food offering. That's going to be my visual inspection of whether I think this two-way pattern is descriptive or misleading. So here's my two-way. And here's the two-way for each kind of food. And so it looks like the two-way is kind of close to these, although it doesn't look like there, it looks like there's a difference here but not there, and that doesn't look anything like this. So based on this quick visual inspection, it looks like that two-way isn't going to be a centerpiece of my description of the results because it doesn't hold up. It's not a descriptive thing. But plots are never enough. So we also go get the comparisons. Expected marginal means, species by age, compare age. Because we were interested in an age effect and then how that age effect differed for species. It gives us those semi-marginal means, and like it says here, you will notice that these semi-marginal means are not the same as the semi-marginal means from the descriptives, because this is looking at this two-way controlling for the other six effects. This is the multivariate expression of the two-way controlling for everything else. There's the F tests comparing these means and those means. And then here are the follow-ups to the F tests, which at this point are redundant because there's only two conditions being compared. So we know these two are different. And we know they're different whether we're working from this F test or this pairwise comparison, this F test or this pairwise comparison. We have to be concerned with whether this two-way pattern is descriptive or not. So we're going to go get another version of the three-way interaction explication. This version is going to consistently compare the two ages, just like we did up here. But now, for this two-way pattern to be descriptive, we have to get a corresponding simple two-way six times for each combination of the three foods and the two species. So we're going to bring the data out differently. Now we're going to bring the data out with age being the last thing listed so those adjacent means can be compared in every combination of food offering. Then we're going to get those age effects. So there's the means. There's all the F tests. There's all the pairwise comparisons. And there's another explication of the three-way. This is the painted, or this is the species by age two-way, the simple two-way for crickets, the simple two-way for ground meat, the simple two-way for lettuce. This one kind of looks like that one. These don't. How are we doing? And one of the nice things about doing this is, well, it's a total pain in the ass to go through all three sets of three-ways. Sometimes you look at this and you say, you know what? Maybe I want to tell this story. Maybe I want to tell this as an age effect that's different for species and different for foods. You get a chance to look at those different expressions and articulations of the three-way, and sometimes that can be really important. Finally, we're going to go after the main effects. We can go get the plot. Here's the plot. That's what it looks like overall. Love crickets, tolerate ground meat, hate lettuce. The question is whether that describes everybody. And so here we get everybody. And this is, of course, the same plot we had before. Then we want to go get the expected marginal means so that we get those marginal means that are actually tested by the F-test. Because what's in the descriptives is the bivariate main effect. Ignoring the other things, what we've significance tested is the main effect of food offering controlling for everything else, but we've not seen those controlled means. Here's how we get that. Again, a description of why descriptive and estimated marginal means are different. Here's our estimated marginal means based on the model. Here's our F test that tells us those three marginal means are different. Here's our pairwise comparison. There's the explication of the main effect pattern for food offered. And again, what we need to do is compare that to what we get at every combination of age and species. This is our main effect, and it is reproduced nowhere. The closest we come is here, and the question is whether this is a power problem or a real null. If so, then we might say that that overall pattern holds for 3-day painted, but not for anybody else. One of the things that you want to watch out for is that if you have more of this group, larger N, in that subset of the design than others, you will think you see effects in the descriptive statistics that won't be there when you're looking at the corrected effects. Be because the corrected effects will take into account or correct for overweighting due to a whole bunch of one kind. And a lot of you are going to end up in that situation where you want to compare a couple of subgroups and one of them's easy to get, you have more of them, and the other you don't have many. And when that's going on, then the collinearity is really artificial. And those descriptive marginal means are also really artificial. And so we need some statistical procedure, once again, to clean up what we can't control in terms of design. And the best procedure for that we have found so far is to consistently work with a description of the model, not the data. Because the data have sample sizes and aggregations that are accidental. What we really want to know is what are the unique contributions of things. Just like we did in multiple regression. Homework 10 and homework 12 checkers are not behaving themselves right now. We're having trouble with permissions on the server. So I will either have that cleaned up over the weekend or we'll do it the old-fashioned way. I will give you my grading key to check your work and make sure that you've got it right before you turn it in. Worked great for years. The nice thing about the checker is it keeps you a little more honest. And sometimes this time of the semester, a little bit of external motivation towards honesty is helpful because shortcuts are a little more tempting this time of year than anything other than finals week.